Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Your Bibles, we'll turn to Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to start reading in verse 35. I'll give you one guess where what I'm reading about. It is Palm Sunday after all, and it was mentioned earlier, those are palm leaves, but if mom or dad needs to use them for a switch, go right ahead. But if you have those palm leaves, use them. Don't stuff them under your chair. Keep them in your hand. And when you feel like jumping up and waving it, just jump up and wave it. Wave it to the Lord. Give him a wave offering. Just wave it to the Lord. Praise God. God's great. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 35. Jesus is already on the colt that would bring him in to Jerusalem. It says, and they brought him to Jesus, the colt, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I want to preach to us for just a few moments today. It's our time to praise the Lord. It's our time to praise the Lord. Could we just give him a hand clap and a shout of praise as we go into prayer? Lord, we love you today and we thank you and honor you. We pray and praise you today, God. Hallelujah. Bless the preaching of your word. Let it find good grounds in our heart. Let us be encouraged and changed by it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. One more hand clap and shout to God. Hallelujah. Turn around and tell somebody it's our time. It's our time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be seated this morning. We've often heard the saying, what a time to be alive. I think about that when I read stories about Jesus and things like this and think that, man, what a time to be alive, to be there, to see the, of course, to them, a lot of them have no idea yet the impact, but we know already, we've read the book, we know what is happening, what's about to happen, and we understand the impact of what's going on, and man, what a day to be alive. But we don't need to just use that phrase for things past. I think we should be using that for today. My friends, what a day it is to be alive. What a time right now for the church. What a great time it is to be alive. Because God is still pouring out his spirit on all flesh. God is still doing miracles, signs, and wonders. God is still looking out for his church. God is still on the throne. God is still on the move. We're still God's chosen. Come on, somebody. We're still that bride, and God is still coming back one day. What a time it is to be alive. We don't need to be hung up in the past, but the past can encourage us, surely. But in this story here, we know that it is just days away from Jesus going to Calvary. The plan that had been formed from the foundation of the world for the Lamb of God is almost finished. At Calvary, he would say, it is finished. Yeah. We focus on this day about the praise and the worship that is taking place. But really, when you read the whole story, there are a lot of things being fulfilled. About 18 miles outside of Jerusalem is the city of Jericho. And before Jesus gets to Jerusalem, at the entering in of the gates to Jericho, we read about the blind man, Bartimaeus is his name. I believe somebody preached about that last week. But we read about blind Bartimaeus, and we know that when he heard that Jesus was coming, his cry was, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David is a name of Messiah. He was actually speaking prophetically, whether he realized it or not, confirming who this Savior was that was headed toward Jerusalem. And with these cries to the Son of David, we know that he received his sight. And then it says, and he followed Jesus in the way. Things were changing in people's lives as Jesus headed toward Jerusalem. Next, he finds a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And against all protocol for that day, Jesus enters into the house of this tax collector. They were hated even as they are today. they were hated in that world, and they were hated in Israel. But Jesus went in to the house of Zacchaeus because he declares that salvation is come to this house today, because he also is a son of Abraham. No matter what he's done wrong, no matter what he's doing or your opinion of him, he is a son of Abraham, and salvation belongs to him. People's lives were changing as Jesus was headed toward Jerusalem. And then we find the story where he tells his disciples, go and find this colt that has never been ridden on, and loose it and bring it. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, why are you loosing the colt, tell them that the Lord has need of him. And that is simply, friend, whether they had no idea, realized it at that moment or not, but that was a fulfilling of prophecy. In Zechariah 9:9, it says that rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Whether they realized it or not, what they were looking at was the fulfillment of prophecy. Hundreds of years before this colt was ever conceived, he was written about in the scripture. God was preparing something hundreds of years earlier, putting a word, a sure word, in the mouth of his prophet, a marker to identify the Messiah as he began to ride to this victorious cross of Calvary. As he began to head into this city, lives were fixing to change forever. God was still doing great things. The plan was in full swing. It was in motion. And prophecy was being fulfilled as Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. This was a great sign, if they had caught it, that this was the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Zechariah would also say in Zechariah 14:9 that in that day the Lord shall be King, that they would be one Lord and his name would be one. Oh, prophecy was being fulfilled. So much being fulfilled and revealed on this journey to Jerusalem. They place him on the colt. They spread their coats in the way before him. And that's significant. And we don't think much about that, but a coat in Scripture has a lot of meaning. Coats were a means of identification. Depending on what you do, they were fishermen's coats. They were beggars' coats. Joseph had a coat of many colors that identified him. When his brothers wanted to remove that identity off of him, they tore the coat from him. And And we know that even the scripture talks about that coats are a form of security for people, that they would even use them as collateral for a loan. They meant something, and so they spread their coats out before him. And I thought about that when I was reading that this morning, knowing what Jesus laid down and has laid down. What are we willing to lay down for him? Is there something that we're holding on to for security that we just haven't laid down yet before the Lord? Is there something that our identity is tied to that we think, if I don't have this, nobody will know who I am? Are we afraid to lay that down before the Lord? Let me tell you, it all fades and pales in comparison to that great king that was riding in on the colt of a donkey. Friend, I want to be like Paul and say, whatever things that were gained to me, I count them loss. I sell it all. I'll lay it all down. I'll get rid of it that I might win Christ. It's not about me, but it's about him. I must decrease and he must increase. Friend, let me tell you, he was riding in and lives were being changed in just a moment. Praise and worship breaks out. And the words of prophets and angels are echoed. Verse 38, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Sounds like the angels' announcement to the shepherds that night that he was born. He was still the King then. He's still the King now. He is the victorious King riding in to win the ultimate battle against death, hell, and the grave, to conquer sin, to destroy it with his precious blood. Friend, let me tell you, it was a triumphant entry that day. And we love the story of these people. Verse 39, just like it is today, some people get upset with your demonstration of praise. It says that some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. People were upset. They wanted it stopped. Quit being so extra. They tried to stop Bartimaeus. Hush. But friend, when you're motivated, when you know who it is that's walking down the road, when you know who it is that's riding into your life, something begins to change inside of you, and you're going to break out in a spontaneous praise and a worship. Come on, somebody. The King was riding in. The Savior was riding in. The Healer was riding in. Come on, somebody. The Lamb of God was riding in. I wish somebody could lift a leaf, a palm leaf right now and wave it to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. People that should have been worshiping were complaining. People that should have been right there in the middle of it was trying to stop it. God help me to never get so religious that I can't see him. Help me to never get so religious that I can't recognize him. Help me to never get so self-righteous that I stop praising him or I get upset at people who do. I'm telling you, that's a praying point. If other people's worship upsets you, friend, you need to pray because you don't know what their motivation is for the miracle. You don't know what their motivation is for that praise. You don't know what they went through to get there where they could lift their hands and shout unto God. You don't know what they went through, the tears they shed so they could declare victory one day in Jesus. Friend, it's our time to praise the Lord. It's our time to praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now, today, in this house, in this hour, in this moment, it's your opportunity to lift your hands and to lift your voice and to shout to God for the victory that he's brought you in your life. Hallelujah. I'll give you a moment to catch up. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him for just a moment. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Go ahead and start thinking about how good he's been. Go ahead and start thinking about how he healed you. Go ahead and start thinking about how he filled you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Tell me how he put you together. How he put your life back together. How he put your relationship back together. Go on and think about all that and then try to be quiet. Hallelujah. 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 It's our time to praise the Lord. It's our time. Hallelujah. What a day to be alive. It's our time to praise the Lord. Let me tell you, there were common people there, unlearned people there, disciples of Jesus that were there, and the difference between them and the religious leaders was the praise. Yeah. The ones that, the Pharisees who were wise in Scripture should have recognized what was happening. And maybe they did. They saw the symbolic meaning and they could not accept that this Jesus that they had been hating on was the one riding in victorious. And then we get to verse 40 and we have this very familiar verse. When they say, Master, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. Don't you hear what they're saying? And his answer is simply this. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. That the stones would immediately cry out. What a scripture. What a word. And it's easy to wonder, God, what did you mean? Now, we're familiar with the principle of creation crying out in praise. In Psalm 148, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, praise ye, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Creation will praise him. In Psalm 19 and 1, it said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Isaiah 44 and 23 says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. That can have another implication, because they that trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion. You sing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. And then finally in Isaiah 55 and 12, he said, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Praise God. Well, we're the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I think it'd be all right if we stood up and just gave a standing ovation to the Creator of the universe. Honey, it's our time to praise the Lord. It's our time to praise the Lord. You've got a right to praise the Lord. You can praise Him because of who God has made you. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus, if you can. And now, Jesus says at this moment, as He comes into the city where His name will be forever, in moments of prophecy being fulfilled, Zechariah said he's bringing salvation with him. Salvation is coming. He says, if those that have seen all that I've done, if they hold their peace, the stones would cry out. Now, you could look at that and say, well, that's because he's worthy of praise. And if people won't praise him, then creation will. You could look at it from this point of view and say, well, the stones cry out as an eternal witness against Israel if they would not praise God, because they have been there. These stones have been there since the creation of time. There ain't no rock shop nowhere where somebody's creating new rocks. They've been there since creation. through the flood. They've been there. They've seen the glory of God. And how ashamed would the people of God be if these stones cried out and not them? But for those that know their pastor, you know that I looked at this and thought, well, you know, something else could be going on. And something else could be, Jesus could be foretelling something else. I want to say this one more time as I go into this part. It's our time to praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, it's our time. But say it like you mean it. It's our time to praise the Lord. Now just follow me for just a moment. Now the stones are his creation, but they are not his children. The stones are not his people. And so let me point something out to us today. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 3, Peter is writing to the saints of God. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, look at your neighbor and say, ye also. Ye also, that's the only time you'll use that. As lively stones. If they hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out. Peter is writing to the church, the Gentile church. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's praise, the sacrifice of our lips. Praise, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, it says that the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are, you lively stones, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When he's talking about calling us out of darkness into marvelous light, he's not just talking about sin. But we had no knowledge. The knowledge of the Savior, the knowledge of the Messiah, the knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was foreign to us. We were dark on that subject matter because he was not our God. He was their God. And Israel was his people. And Peter, I read this earlier, but Peter said, which in times past were not a people. You stones, you lively stones, in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. My friend, it is our time to praise the Lord. Because God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is Israel who stumbled at the chief cornerstone. Israel stumbled over the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. But God knew that if they stumble, I have some stones. He said in times past, when it was just me and Israel, when they were calling on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you were not a people. We were not his people. We were not his children, but we were his creation. Remember? Stones are not his children, but they are his creation. But he said, if these hold their peace, those that were not much, they will cry out. They will cry out. Friend, let me tell you, and Jesus just may be saying right there, there is coming a time when those stones, those that no one thought could be mine, will open up and praise and believe and receive when my chosen people won't. Hello? Yeah. I'll give it to you like this. Paul said this. He's a Jew. He's part of that chosen. He's part of Israel. He's first in line for salvation. He says in Romans 10 and 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you, Israel, to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation, I'm going to anger you. In Romans 11:11, he said, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Friend, it is our time to praise the Lord. It is our time to praise the Lord. In times past, we were not a people, but we were His creation, and His blood reached down and got us. Let me tell you, if His people that have seen His mighty works won't praise Him, let me tell you, God's got somebody that'll praise Him. Hallelujah. God's got somebody that'll lift their voice and cry out to Him. Let me tell you something about praise. It ain't predicated on whether you're saved or not. God's worthy of praise from me whether I'm saved or not. Rocks ain't saved, but He said they'll praise. Let me tell you, God sees this. God is worthy. God is absolute. He is the only God. He is the Lord God Almighty, and He is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, His name is great, and it is greatly to be praised. Salvation was to the Jew first. Jesus told the woman at the well, you don't know what you worship, but we know, because salvation is of the Jews. He told one woman that come to Him for a healing, He said, I can't give the children's bread. It's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. He didn't even recognize her as a person. Gentiles. Dogs. Let me tell you, if the church won't praise Him, somebody will. If the saved won't praise Him, somebody will. If those that have seen His great works won't praise Him, somebody will. And the scripture said, we are now lively stones called out of darkness. We've been dug. You know, there's a lot of, on the ground you walk, you can walk across that ground out there now, and up under your feet, things you can't see, there are rocks. And they're in darkness. And they can be dug out. And God has called us out and dug us out. And the scripture tells me to look unto the rock from which I am hewn. I am His creation, even though I was not His people. But now, on the day of Pentecost, God was pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. The scripture says, with His Spirit we are His. It is the Spirit of adoption. We become His. And in Acts chapter 10, we talked about that this morning, but in Acts 10 at the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles, not the Jews, but at this Gentile's house, Cornelius hears about Jesus. His family, his friends, those that are there in the house, hear this preaching about Jesus, and the Holy Ghost falls upon them. And in Acts 10 and 46, it says, they knew they had received the Holy Ghost. They knew that these Gentiles had been brought in, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, these stones. It was their time to praise the Lord. A lot of the Jews were upset. They brought Peter on the carpet for it. What do you mean going to that guy's house? Peter, short answer, he said, how can I withstand God? And this is what God did. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost just like He did us at the first. And they spoke with tongues and magnified God and praised Him. And these are the stones that were not a people. These are the stones that were not, they were His creation, but they were not a people. But now they are the people of God, because God has poured His Spirit out on all flesh. Honey, God's still pouring His Spirit out on all flesh. It's our time to praise the Lord. And let me tell you, if stones do cry out, it's because God gives them the utterance. Praise God. It's our time to praise the Lord. those stones. Jesus is riding in. They would have to be pointed out. Because nobody just looks down there. All this commotion's going on. Nobody's looking down at stones. Stones are on a lower level. They're in a different place. But they can still praise God. So the stones that nobody noticed, the stones that people walk on, the stones that people use for their own benefit, would suddenly have a voice of praise. Can I tell you today, you've got a right to praise Him. The stone that nobody noticed, the stone that people have walked on, the stone that people have used for their own benefit, you got a right to praise Him. You can praise God in this sanctuary. I'll tell you, you might still be a stone stuck in the mud. You might still be a stone stuck under the ground. It might feel like something's pressing down on top of you, but friend, you can still praise God. It's our time to praise Him. You've got a right to praise Him. You don't have to be perfect to praise Him. You think everybody in that crowd on Palm Sunday was perfect and righteous and holy? Oh no. It said that they saw the mighty works that He had done, and so they started praising Him. There were people that had probably just told a lie, but turned around and said, "Here He comes, and let's praise Him." There were people there that were not right, that had issues in their life, things they were going through, things they were fighting, but they were still praising God. How many thousands were there? Nobody knows. It doesn't give us a number. And so it's a number that no man can number. But they were praising God, laying down their coats, laying down the palm branches, waving them before the Lord. Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King. Whether I'm right or not, I got to acknowledge something. He's the King. Whether I'm right or not, it doesn't change His stature. It doesn't change His status. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they praised Him for all the mighty works that they had seen. Sounds like another psalm, don't it? Praise Him for His mighty acts. In Psalm 150, if the music wants to come this morning, in Psalm 150, you can stand with me this morning if you'd like to. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to read this psalm. I want you to listen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's why I'm preaching to you today, that it is our time to praise the Lord. Because He said, praise Him for His mighty acts, not mine. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness, not my righteousness. Praise Him with these instruments. Praise Him for His greatness. Praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He didn't say if everything was right in your life, praise the Lord. If everything's going your way, praise the Lord. He said, let everything that's breathing, everything that's struggling but still has breath, everything that's got questions but still has breath, everything that's confused or depressed or stressed, if you've got breath, then praise God. Why? Because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, let me tell you, there ain't nothing more helpless than a newborn babe. But He said, out of the mouth of babes, you have perfected praise. Sometimes praise, it's the breath you breathe. It's the breath that's coming out of your body. Praise unto our God for giving me a another day to live. Honey, I'm telling you today, I don't care what you're struggling with, it's your time to praise the Lord. I don't care what you're wondering about, it's your time to praise the Lord. I don't know what you're fighting today, but you've got a right to praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.